I am very excited to welcome our guest to the show tonight. You will recognize his name from working right here at WGN as a reporter, a crime reporter. His name is Doug Cummings, and I know that you remember Doug as part of this radio station for many years. Well, he is also now a crime novelist, and his latest book is Easy Evil, and it's out right now. And you can go to his website at DougMCummingsAuthor.com. That's all one word, DougMCummingsAuthor.com. But we have a link on our Facebook page if you want to check that out, Facebook.com/NickDShow. And let's welcome back to WGN, Doug Cummings. Hey, Doug, how are you, man?
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good, good. How you been?
I've been good. Been listening to you.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So let's go back here and talk about how you got into WGN, because you were here for a while.
I was. I was at WMAQ for, 10, probably 12 years almost, until they changed and became the Score in 2000. And fortunately, I had seen that coming, and Tom Peterson and I had a couple of conversations, and he said, well, why don't you come over and work weekends? And that's what happened.
And now, were you was your specialty covering crime? Was it exclusive doing that?
No, that's pretty much what. Sadly, that's pretty much what I've done through most of my career. I've done politics. I've done most of the things that you do when you work in radio. But I pretty much specialized in crime. I had started out many years ago as a deputy sheriff in Kansas, and I worked as a reporter and anchor in TV and worked in radio and moved from Kansas City to Chicago, thought I was out of the business. A guy named Jim Frank, who was at WMAQ, he was the news director, happened to be working one night when I called in a story just on a whim that I was covering for WTMX at the time. And I thought, well, I'll string it to WMAQ, and Jim was there. He just happened to be covering a shift at night, and we got to talking, and I ended up there for, like I said, 12 years, and made the jump when WMAQ went away, and ended up actually at a station that I'd always wanted to work at. I'd always wanted to work at WGN.
I think that's the case for anybody who's in the radio business.
I think so. It's the target for a lot of young reporters and a lot of young talent.
Yeah. And how long did you work here?
So I was trying to think about that the other day. Margaret Larkin and I were talking, and about 4 years all told, because I went away and I came back and I did a couple of jobs, and then I went away and I came back again.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What is it about that attracted you, or did it just happen that you started covering crime? Was that something you were interested in, or... It you just became the go-to guy because you were there.
Yeah, I think because I'd been a cop, it was still a fascination for me. I had always wanted to be in broadcasting, but it was interesting how I got back into broadcasting. I was a TV anchor and a substitute anchor and a photographer and a reporter, and I became a deputy sheriff. And one night I had a ride-along who worked for a local radio station in near Kansas City, and I had, he and I talked a little bit, and he was getting ready to leave the station to go to law school. In fact, he was from Chicago, and he was going to go to law school down there. And I said, well, you know, when you leave, are they going to have the job open? And he said, yeah. So they hadn't filled it. So the next time I went over and applied for his job, as it turned out, he came and applied for a job with the sheriff's office. So we sort of switched jobs, and I got the radio job that he had, and eventually he ended up riding a squad car.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's pretty funny, man. Yeah. We are here with Doug Cummings, who used to be a reporter here at WGN and is now an author. And his latest book is called Easy Evil. It is oddly enough a crime novel, Doug.
Yeah, people have asked me if it's got a horror component. No, I think it's just the evil that people do to each other.
Yeah.
Regardless of horror. But it was interesting how the story came about, and I was it comes from a story that I had covered. At least it starts that way. A number of years ago, there was a homicide in Inverness.
Mm-hmm.
A woman was killed in the driveway of her parents' house. It turned out that her husband was in the service. He was over in Germany, and he had hired one of his friends, who was here stateside on leave, to go do the job because they'd been having domestic problems. That scene struck me. Beautiful area, wealthy area, young woman, no apparent reason in the beginning for why she would have been killed. And I took that, I played with it over the years, and it occurred to me that it could have been a judge and her daughter who were killed. And I started working on the story from there, but that's basically where it started.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Doug, this is obviously not your first novel. How many of them come from things that you covered? Is that like a normal thing? Is that you get a lot of inspiration because of the stories that you covered over the years?
Pretty much,
yeah.
I don't know that I can always tell you exactly where something came from. But, yeah, I mean, if nothing else, characters, mm-hmm. police procedure, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
The odd things that happen during investigations, you can pretty well figure that in a major homicide investigation that other crimes probably will get turned up because you're looking into people's lives.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe something as relatively minor as a drug connection, because a lot of homicides are connected to drugs. You may find that there's a drug connection to something like that. But I think that a lot of what I've done is pretty much instinctive. I'll think of something to write about and realize later, I can link that back to this story or that story, or, you know, I met somebody on a story that looked like a great character in a book.
Yeah.
I did keep, for a long time when I was on the street, I would cover a story and I would have my notes from the story, and then I would keep a separate notebook of just observations of the scene. I remember one in particular I covered was really a horrible story. It was down in the Shanahan area where a guy had taken his two kids for the weekend. He and his wife were separated. He'd taken his two kids for the weekend. He killed them and threw them off a bridge into the river.
Ugh.
And I remember sitting underneath the bridge that he had used for several hours while the state police were dragging the river for the bodies. And it's the scene struck me as just so surreal. It was dark. It was very foreboding. And from that, I created a scene in my second book, Easy Evil, the second book was Every Secret Crime, set in a situation like that, under a bridge, and there had been, it was a completely different circumstance, but that was kind of what set it off.
Yeah, wow. All right, Doug, hang on, okay?
Sure.
Doug Cummings is with us, former reporter here at WGN and now a great crime novelist. His latest book is called Easy Evil. We'll talk more about it. We'll get the story behind it. And Doug has given us 5 copies of the book to give away. So we would like to give those books away right now. And all you got to do is just call in on our phone number here, just the regular phone line, and Dan will get all your information. And we've got 5. Doug has been kind enough to give us 5 books to give away. It's called Easy Evil. It's a great crime novel featuring a character named Harry Cork, and we'll get into all of that, more details. And if you would like a copy of Doug's novel, Easy Evil, just call us right now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. First 5 people through, we'll get a copy of Doug's book, Easy Evil. 312-981-7200. We want to thank Doug for giving us 5 great books to give away. And we'll talk more with him coming up right here on WGN. Nick DiGilio is here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studios here on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. Here till 5 a.m., and I'm joined by Doug Cummings, who is a former crime reporter from right here at WGN Radio, who's gone on to write some great crime novels. And he was kind enough to give us 5 copies of his latest, Easy Evil, to give away. And we want to thank and congratulate Catherine, Linda, Tom, Adele, and Greg. Those are our five winners. Catherine, Linda, Tom, Adele, and Greg, you are our five winners. You will receive a copy of Easy Evil by Doug Cummings. And, Doug, thanks for giving those books to our listeners.
You are very welcome. I hope they enjoy them, and we'll tell their friends about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Spread the word. And by the way, DougMCummingsAuthor.com is the website. There's a link on our Facebook page for that. So,
I'm actually impressed that there are five people listening, Nick, because when I would do news on WGN, I never knew whether I was talking to one, two, three, four. You know, I never knew.
Well, at least we know we have at least five people listening right now,
which
Doug.
Is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
All right. Now, we talked about how your real life experiences covering crime over the years influenced your books. But what about literary influences? What about other writers? What kind of seeped into your mind there?
It's funny because when I just came across a book yesterday. I was going through some books in the basement, and one of my favorite authors ever was a guy named John D. MacDonald. He created a character named Travis McGee back in the, I'm going to say, the late 50s, early 60s, probably the early 60s. MacDonald died a number of years ago. His character lives on. Travis McGee was a boat bum. He lived in Fort Lauderdale. He was basically a private detective without a license, and he got a lot of babes. And it was the time frame when that was very popular in books. It was just coming into the '60s. Sex was a big thing.
Sure,
but not that it's not a big thing now. But The other author I really enjoyed was Ross MacDonald. I don't think this has anything to do with the fact that my middle name is MacDonald.
Oh, okay.
I just happened to gravitate to these guys. Ross MacDonald was basically in the style of Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler, and he had a character named Archer, Lou Archer, who, in fact, Paul Newman played Lou Archer as Lou Harper in the movie Harper.
Right.
And there was another one, I think The Drowning Pool was one of his. But both of those authors, both MacDonalds, influenced this MacDonald. And when I was, 11, 12, I just made the pronouncement to my family that I was going to become a famous author someday.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were very sympathetic. They told me that I'd probably better get a real job and, stop fooling around with that writing stuff.
Yeah.
They were very proud, but I think they were just, hiding it because they were just so proud.
Right.
But I think that was probably what led me to get constant work from then on. I started working when I was 13 just to be able to afford to write. And I'd tell people that. And as it turned out, it was a good thing that I worked for all those years. But I think that's when I first developed an interest in crime from reading those books. I went on to read Ed McBain, who wrote a very famous series of police procedurals.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of great classic author really inspiration.
Sure.
And it goes on today. There are so many good writers out there. We just continue to find, they're just, the authors nowadays are very much in the same vein as the ones that I started out liking. But there are just so many good writers out there that it would be hard to even name the one
Sure.
I like now.
Sure. This is Doug Cummings, whose latest book is called Easy Evil, and Marcella has a question for Doug. Hi, Marcella.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Doug.
Hi,
I was wondering, how are you?
I'm fine. You're up late.
Good. I am up late, I know, but I had to call in, so I decided that I was going to forego sleep for the moment.
Just for us. That's really, really...
Yes, just for you guys.
Yeah.
I was wondering, is there anything, I know you were a cop and a journalist, is there anything specific in the book that you drew, from your experience that you actually wrote about?
This book, I started out by saying, yes, it started with an idea that came from a homicide case that I covered back in the 80s in Inverness. There are a number of other little pieces, and I'm not sure that I can really point to particular stories that they came from, but I think that the, for example, one thing that, is mentioned kind of a bit in the book is the fact that the major crime squad in Lake County is obviously a real entity. I cast a commander of the crime scene or of the task force in sort of a bad light, but certainly that's not related to anybody in real life. But one of the things that happens with budget cutbacks is that oftentimes the officers who are called up to work on these task forces end up being told by their agencies, we don't have enough money to pay your overtime to investigate a crime in another community, because these task forces are drawn from departments all over the county, whether it's in Lake County or Cook County or wherever the, joint task force is operating. And oftentimes this is what will happen. And I've worked with guys. In fact, I can remember a couple of homicide cases that I worked on as a reporter, where I'd talk to certain investigators and they'd say, well, we're limited in the amount of time we can spend here because we certainly can't spend overtime. We have to work our normal hours. Mm. We can't. They can't afford to pay us for overtime. So I sort of put that in the book. Mm. I think it's important as a just as a fact that people know about that, because funding obviously is very important.
Yeah. Doug, hang on, okay?
Sure.
I want to hang out with Doug just a little bit longer. Marcella, thank you for the question. The book is called Easy Evil. We'll find out what the book's about, and we'll talk about the character Harry Cork that Doug created. More coming up right here after the news, which is coming up next. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m. It is a Monday morning. We're here all week, every weekday morning from 2 to 5, right before Steve Cochran. And we are also on Saturday nights from 8 to midnight. If there's a sporting event, we'll follow that and with a shorter show. The phone number is 312-981-7200. You can check us out at facebook.com/NickDShow. Where we have well over 9,000 fans on our Facebook page, and you can also send text to 24720. My guest right now is Doug Cummings, who was a former crime reporter here in Chicago at this radio station, in fact, and he is now an author of a series of books, and the latest of which is called Easy Evil, and they are crime novels, and we welcome Doug back to the show. Welcome back, Doug.
Thank you, and I just remember the last time I talked to you, you woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me, this was a number of years ago, you woke me up to tell me that the porch collapse had happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Uh-huh.
That was, just occurred to me.
Yeah, that was, we were scrambling to try to find somebody because it happened in the middle of the night, you know. We were scrambling to try to find somebody, so we had to wake you up, Doug.
And that's when I used to do some of my best work.
In the middle of the night.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, before we get back to, I want to. We haven't really even talked about the plot for Easy Evil. We haven't talked about Harry Cork, and I want to get to that.
Okay.
But I do want to see if you can just give me what would be kind of a typical night covering crime in Chicago.
Oh gosh.
I mean, if you can think of maybe a couple of examples of what it was like, if there were, you know, what would it be like to cover crime, especially at this time of night?
You know, most of the time, I would cover stuff in the suburbs. I very, very seldom came into the city. I can remember probably the most common thing would be to come in for would be a fire,
mm-hmm.
A big fire. But in the burbs, generally, I would get a call, and I can think of many instances where I'd get a call from a source who'd say something's going on in a particular town, and you know, I'd wake up, start making other calls to confirm it. I worked with a great group of freelance TV folks, Ken Herzlich and David Lasker, and Brad Bartley, who actually Ken and Brad are still on the street, probably working right now.
Yeah. By the way, I'm sorry. You can go on in a second here, but did you guys bond? Was there like a mutual sort of unspoken bond between anybody who covered this kind of stuff?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
In fact, I worked with those guys the whole time that I was on the street.
Yeah.
I literally could not have done what I did without them, because Chicago is just too huge to, and particularly the number of police and fire agencies that I would have to pay attention to. There's no way I could have listened to all of them on the scanner without those guys' ears as well. We covered, I think it comes down to 7 counties full of police
wow.
fire departments.
Jeez.
So you can imagine the amount of noise in our cars from,
yeah.
the, from just the scanners.
Yeah.
But, that's one thing I really don't miss. People ask me if I miss anything about the business.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I don't miss is listening to the scanners 24/7.
I remember back in the 70s, my dad had one of those police scanners, and I always thought it was cool. I used to love to listen to the police scanners back in the 70s and 80s. It was really exciting.
I literally started in the business by going out and just running to police calls when I was living in Kansas. I had a buddy, we were in, high school, and he had a tunable police scanner for the local police frequency, and we'd go out and got so familiar with it that I started taking pictures, still pictures, and they got picked up by a local TV station.
How about that?
And that's really how I got into the business.
Oh, that's amazing.
And almost got arrested a few times, too. that's a whole other story. But, yeah, I would say a typical night would start for me because I was kind of a wimp. I'd usually go to bed early and because I'd been up all day doing stuff.
Yeah.
The one exception that I remember vividly was Brown's Chicken.
Oh,
homicides at Brown's Chicken.
Jeez.
That was a very strange night. I had been up in Wisconsin covering a triple fatal snowmobile accident because it was in January.
Yeah,
and snowmobile accidents unfortunately are still very common because people get out, they'll drink a little bit, and
yeah.
they'll run their snowmobiles and usually run into open water.
There's been some real sad, been some real sad, people in the business, in fact, have lost their lives due to that. It's set up so strangely out there, though, you know, like up in upper Wisconsin.
Yes.
I mean, the paths, every, you know, couple of miles, there's a bar. And then you go to another one, and there's a bar. And you know, I guess you think, oh, it's not. I'm not driving a car. I'm on
right.
the snow and blah blah blah. But it's so dangerous.
Well, and in northern Wisconsin, oftentimes you start with a snowmobile breakfast.
That's right.
Where you know there will be alcohol imbibed, and then you drink some along the road to stay warm.
Yeah, God.
But
you were covering that. I'm sorry, you were covering that.
Yeah, I had gone up to this thing. The three deaths. And I don't remember exactly how that had happened, but I was coming back from that. It was about probably 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember David Lasker and Mike Meinhardt, who then was a photographer for the Tribune. We were all out, and David and I had been up north on that story. And we all heard at the same time victims in a freezer come over the fire radio from Palatine. And I don't know why I flashed particularly on that and instantly had a feeling that the way they said that meant that they were dead.
Hmm.
But it was, for some reason, it just struck me. And I said, this is something we really need to pay attention to. And all three of us ended up there. And, of course, it turned out to be the Brown's Chicken case.
Man.
And I actually broke the story on CNN before any I broke it on MAQ and then I broke it on CNN both before any other station in the market had it on the air because I was working for CNN too at the time.
Yeah,
but that was a horrible story.
Oh man,
just the kind of the backward way that I happened to be out and heard it.
Yeah,
and that we got there, you know, right after the police started to arrive, basically.
Wow. That's an amazing.
So
that's amazing.
That's how that, I mean, that often is how it happens.
You're
out on one thing and something totally unrelated will happen. And, you know, it may be a run across town, but you would run across town and get to something else.
Yeah.
And that's how these guys do it. I mean, that's how these guys that shoot video at night, it's amazing. They have, you know, really the whole city is their oyster. And they'll park in a central location and, you know, run from there if they hear something that sounds newsworthy.
Yeah. Pat has a question on WGN. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Thank you for featuring this guy tonight. I love crime novels, so I've got a whole new author now, and I'm hooked just listening to him. He's so interesting. And I want to ask you, Doug, are your stories generally set in the Chicago area, or are they all over the place?
They're really set in Chicago and in the suburbs. That's the area that I find most exciting and that I found most exciting that I was covering. I have an idea for a couple of stories that might take place someplace else. In fact, I ended one story in Kansas where I used to live, just as kind of a shout-out to my peeps.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the action for all three of the stories, all three of the novels that I've published, take place here. The one I'm working on, number four, will again take place pretty much in the suburbs and the city.
Okay. All right,
well,
Pat.
Well, thank you, Nick,
a lot,
because I'll look forward to getting my hands on these. Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay. Doug, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right. Doug Cummings is with us, former crime reporter for this radio station as well as others. And Doug M. Cummings, author.com is a website, but we have a link on our Facebook page. The latest novel is called Easy Evil. We'll get into the plot. We've got a couple of texts to 24720 with questions for Doug. More coming up right here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of Trib Tower, here till 5. Doug Cummings is with us. He is the author of Easy Evil, which is a brand new crime novel that he has written, was a crime reporter and a policeman here in the Chicagoland area for a long time, and we welcome him back to the show. Doug, welcome back.
Thanks, sir.
From the
By the way, I got to send a shout out to Ted. It's been years since I've talked to Ted, and I'm glad
Ted's here.
Still on the air.
Doug, good to speak. Giddy
up. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, Ted's working this. Ted, 15 years, right?
15 years and, just over 15 years.
I think you must have started, like, somewhat around the same time that I did. Maybe a little bit before I did, because I remember we used to run into each other at Steve and Johnny's tea parties.
Yeah, a lot of the events they would do, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. Yeah, Ted's still kicking. He's part of the show, and we're happy to have him. So
good, yeah.
That's awesome. We have a text here from Washington, D.C. that says, is Harry Cork a composite of real people? Which is good, because I wanted to get into Easy Evil, tell us the story about it. But tell me a little bit about the character of Harry Cork.
It's so funny. He's really not a composite. I take that back. All characters that I've created probably are composites of people I know, and I think most writers are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You either consciously or unconsciously draw from the experiences and the characters and quotes that you meet in real life. Certainly the way that he's wholeheartedly dedicated to solving the case would remind me of any number of detectives or even just street cops that I've known who are absolutely dedicated to their work, which would be all of them.
Yeah.
So that's really not that's kind of cheating to say it's a composite of them.
Yeah.
But of anybody in particular, no. I think that just the fact that he put in that kind of effort, I was trying to underline the fact that that's what these guys do.
Mm.
You don't have to be on TV, you don't have to be on CSI to be a dedicated cop. The ones who are working the street every day are the ones who have the dedication. Harry's an interesting guy, I think, because as the book opens, it's not a big secret. He commits a murder. And whether you think that's right or wrong, it stays with him through this book and will pop up again to cause him problems in later books. And that's not what you'd normally find in a character who's the star,
yeah,
if you will, of a police procedural.
Yeah, that's kind of a risky move, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and at any point, somebody could come along as happens in this book and says, we know what you did. If you want to continue to investigate the case you're investigating, we don't want you to. And, you know, we're going to snitch you off if you don't back down. What's a cop do when he's confronted with that kind of situation?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, so tell me about this. How did you get to this story? Were you thinking, because you said that you're writing the next one, you've got other ones in mind. While you were writing Easy Evil, were you thinking about where it was going to go to the next chapter?
To the next book?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to, in my feeling anyway, you don't want to spend a whole lot of time as a writer working on one book and thinking two or three books ahead.
Mm-hmm.
In my small walnut-sized brain, that's really too much to consider. Some better authors than I may be able to do that. I don't seem to be able to go too far down that road and don't want to. But you have to know that you're going to continue, first of all. When you start a series, you have to at least start a base that you can build from. And I did that by just creating characters that I thought were really interesting. And I found, yeah, it's kind of fun because there are characters I really like, there are characters I don't like and probably wouldn't use again. They're walk-ons. But the characters that I've established as my main characters, I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most authors will tell you that they develop sort of a relationship with their characters. I used to laugh at a friend of mine who would say that her characters were talking to her.
Yeah.
As an actor, you may find that familiar, that when you get into a role that the character sort of leads you where you need to go.
Yeah.
Or perhaps even as a scriptwriter, or a screenwriter. But I found that to be true, that if you are creating a character and you're true to the character and you do something that is out of character for that person, it'll pop up. It'll become very apparent to you, and you'll have trouble writing through if you're making an error in what that character might do. Sounds funny. It sounds unreal. But it's really true, and if anybody gets into writing, they'll find that.
No, Doug, you speak the truth. And
yeah.
It's hard to logically explain that, but it's absolutely true. There's no question about it.
You could probably go into it's your subconscious talking,
yeah,
or whatever, but or it could just be logic. You have in mind certain things that a character is going to do. And if logically, the way you're looking at it, it doesn't happen that way, then the character is going to speak to you. But it really does happen.
Have you gotten feedback from the people that you worked with, from the reporters, from the cops, from the people covering the beat after they've read your books?
Some of them, yeah. In fact, I had breakfast with one of my cop sources the other day, and he gave me a thumbs up on this one.
I'm good.
I'm very pleased because the last book I made a technical error, which somebody who's familiar with guns, I shouldn't have done. But I made an edit and changed the name of a firearm, and I should have followed through because a certain gun doesn't have a hammer.
Uh-oh.
Some do. and my cop friend found that and has not let me live in it yet. Yeah. But that's the kind of thing that I like because it shows that people are reading carefully.
Sure. Yeah.
I have no problem with somebody coming to me and saying, well, you did this on one page, and then the next page you did that. Hey, I'm human.
Yeah, and at least you're reading the book, which is
exactly
good. Yeah.
And one of the really cool things about self-publishing, and this book is assisted self-publishing basically, but one of the best things about it is that if you need to later on, you can go back and republish it. It's not a cheap process, but,
right?
You can bring out a second edition or the great thing about that is that I'm keeping basically a punch list, as a contractor would call it, of things that people have pointed out to me that are, so far, thankfully, they've been tiny mistakes.
Oh, good. Good.
But, nothing glaring like I've in one chapter, somebody has one name, and in another chapter, they have another name. But it's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem listening to that, and it's interesting to see what people pick up on.
Yeah, it's true. Doug, we have a listener from the 708 area code that said, did you cover the local story of Jeffrey and Jill Erickson, the husband and wife bank robbers? And they made a great,
yes.
John McNaughton made a great movie.
Yes, he did.
Called Normal Life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, and that was kind of interesting. I covered the first part of it, actually. The actual robbery, and I don't remember the towns where it happened. It was long enough ago.
We're dealing with the
walnut-sized brain of Doug Gummer.
It was in the areas of, like, the Norwich area.
Was it Norwich? Because I thought it was farther southwest than that.
I think it was in that area because I know that John, because I know John, and he wanted to shoot on the locations where they actually were the closest locations, and most of them were sort of like just outside of the airport in that area.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's right. What I remember is that in part of the pursuit, there was a, and I may, again, I may be confusing stories here, but a part of the pursuit took place in the car went through a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
It drove right through a McDonald's drive-thru. I don't think he stopped and got a Coke, but that was part of where he tried to go get away. And I interviewed two kids who had seen that happen. And normally when you interview kids, or my experience was, when you interview kids who say that they've seen something that is important, oftentimes they're reporting it through third or fourth hand from
sure,
their friends.
Sure.
These kids were white. They were their faces were just as pale as they possibly could be. They
wow.
had seen what they purported to have seen.
Yeah, wow.
And they were shaking, and they couldn't believe what they'd seen.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's amazing. All right, Doug, great talking to you, man. Welcome back on the air. Always fun.
Thank you.
And it's Doug Cummings. Easy Evil is the name of the new book. DougMCummingsAuthor.com is the website. Doug, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
There you go. Doug Cummings. And the new book is called Easy Evil.